past 10 on a Friday evening. That's my good friend Randy Seymour and the Cats in the Cradle. And the last time I spoke to Randy, he was just after releasing that song. And I'm delighted he's joining me from his home in East Texas. Is that right, Randy?
Hey, how are you doing, Tommy?
Not too bad, Randy. I was just playing Cats in the Cradle, and I mentioned the last time we spoke, you had just released it before a video, a documentary was going out to Harry Chapin. How did all that go?
Yep, it went great. The film performed real well. A lot of people saw it. A lot of people streamed it, and I think it did well. It actually made some pretty good money for the Harry Chapin Foundation and a charity which is called Why Hunger. Yep. And then I ended up doing a charity Why Hunger Hungerthon in December, and they filmed that as well, and they're going to probably release a subsequent film off of that concert, because there was many artists that were up there with me. The Chapin family was there, the Dixie Dregs, Yola was on the bill, a guy named Little Steven Van Zandt was on the bill, and then at the end, surprise guest artist was Bruce Springsteen. So it was a big night, a lot of fun, and so the cats in the Cradle has performed well. That song was out Father's Day last year, and it just now is slowing down as far as like it's being played and getting charting. You know, so it's been a nice ride.
Yeah, I must check it out. I was just saying to you off air there, I was trying to find it on one of the streaming channels and I couldn't get it. But you tell me it was on Amazon and Primal.
Yeah, it was on Amazon Prime. It was on Apple TV. And then there may be a few others that are carrying it now that are streaming sites. Let me see here. I'll have a list of what the newest thing is before we hang up here, okay?
Yeah. I was just mentioning, the last time I met you before we did the phone interview was the last time I was out in Nashville. You had been based in Nashville, but since then you've moved back to Texas. How long did you spend in Nashville, Randy?
Almost 40 years. Oh. I moved there when I was 18, yeah. And so I got to do a lot of stuff and got to meet a lot of people and play a lot of shows, do many things I never dreamed I'd get to do. So it was a really, really a good run staying in Nashville and living there, being a Tennessean. But I'm a Texan at heart. I was raised in Texas, and coming back here was very, very natural for me to do.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know the last time I met you, it was in 2019, you were telling me you were thinking of moving back to Texas. But I remember the first time I was out, well, I wouldn't say the first time I was out, but I was out the year before that too in 2018, and I had the privilege to go out to Jenny's house and do an interview with you there. And it was one of the highlights of my trip that particular year. I was doing a few different interviews, but the one I had with you was great. We just sat down on the couch in Jenny's house and chatted for nearly an hour.
Yeah. There you go.
And the songwriting...
We had a big time.
You had a big time. The songwriting is going. You're going from strength to strength. You're still writing some great songs.
So, well, I'm having a great time here. And since I moved to Texas, I've been a lot more creative. I've had more time to do that because in Nashville, you chase a lot of things. And in Texas, you don't have to chase so many things. You can kind of relax and be yourself. So...
A song you co-wrote a long time ago with Carr Perkins became a hit there in the last couple of years for Vince Gill and Ronnie Millsap, Big Bertha.
Yes. Yeah. I met Carl Perkins, and for people who aren't familiar with him, he's the man who wrote and recorded the hit song Blue Suede Shoes back in 1956. And he became an international icon. And even to this day, people like Eric Clapton say, well, he was one of my big guitar influences.
Yeah.
I met Carl around 1996, and we started writing some songs together. And one of the songs that we came up with was a song about a golf club that somebody had stolen that he owned called Big Bertha. That was the name of the golf club. So he wanted to do a song about that, so we worked on it. And unfortunately, Carl didn't he didn't stay around long enough to record the song. He passed away. But it did get recorded by Vince Gill and Ronnie Millsap, and they had a great record on it about 4 years ago.
That's
and
right.
I'm real proud of that.
That was really good. And I was just looking around that time. I got a few songs of yours, too, that I loved. One was called Old Grey Dog. It was a great song. And The Old Maple Tree, they were two great songs. When did you write them, or were they on the one album?
Old Grey Dog was a song that I'd written years and years ago.
Yeah.
And I decided that it needed to be out.
Yeah.
Out there because I had moved here to Texas, and I was writing new songs, and then I was going through other songs that I thought really needed people to hear. So I recorded that one and put it on my Lufkin record, which is actually the second album I've had out over the past 6 or 7 years. And then what was the other song you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Old Maple Tree. Maple Tree.
I just finished that like a year ago or so, and it's a funny little story.
Yeah,
a friend of mine who is in Nashville, Bobby Johnson, great guy, who is a songwriter and all different kinds of things. He's a jack of all trades. You have to be when you're trying to be a musician in Nashville. Anyway, we were watching a friend of ours who was a really great guitar player playing in a lounge there, and we started talking about that guitar, and then it came around to what it was made of. It was made out of wood, and we kind of figured out what kind of wood it was made of. And then we decided, well, what if that tree that turned into a guitar? What if that tree was dreaming about being a guitar?
Yeah.
You know, that was what he wanted to do. So that's where we got the idea for Old Maple Tree.
Yeah, the lyrics, I love the lyrics in that one, as in the one, the Old Grey Dog as well. And I must give a wee mention to a lady who you know very well, Jenny, who is great for promoting songwriters who may not be known, but I know out at her house she brings songwriters out and they have sessions, really great sessions. And some great songwriters she looks after as well, doesn't she, Jenny?
Yeah, she's done quite a lot. She loves doing that, so it's not hard for her to.
No, she has a great ear for a good singer.
Who are songwriters and stuff. Yeah, so she's connected with a lot of those kind of folks, and they really benefit from her being around. So it's pretty cool, and she does a great job, obviously, promoting my records and getting my music out there. She's constantly. As I say, she's constantly chipping away at it with an axe.
Come here, tell me about the new single now, Forget Me Not. When did you do that one, or how long has it been on the go? Has it been a long time ago, or is it just more recently you got that?
Well, it was probably 2 or 3 years ago I started this song, Forget Me Not, and I was writing it because I was doing a gospel show at the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame, and I never finished it. I didn't perform the song, and then I just kind of set it down. And then last year I was talking with my wife, and she was telling me about how when she grew up and things, how things went and so forth, and so the story was really intriguing to me. So I thought, let me think about that. So all of a sudden it found its way into the idea of Forget Me Not. So that was where the song really kind of started to find its voice. So the narrative is a narrative of starting out, you know, with a bright future ahead, and then things kind of go south a little bit. And so you have to just keep going. And, you know, your only hope is a prayer that you can pray that say, you know, okay, no matter what's been going on here, I'm hoping for some redemption, and I'm hoping that I'm not forgotten when everything is finally comes down.
Yeah, it's great lyrics to it, as in the other songs. And I remember from the time I met you in 2018, and we sat down and you sang a few songs. Like every song you sang, one was as good as the other. And, you know, I don't know how you do it, but that the way the lyrics and the story you tell in your songs is unbelievable. You know, really good. Have you ever tried pitching them to any of the...
Well, thank you.
Have you ever tried pitching them to any of the bigger stars? But I suppose the bigger stars now are in country anyway. They're all kind of gone poppy, especially around Nashville?
Well, I used to be represented by a publisher in Nashville and pitched songs quite often and got songs put on hold, and they'd get a look or they'd get a hold or they would demo it or something like that. But really, in the scope of everything, I just kind of quit working at doing that, because it does require a lot of time and a lot of work. And I'd just much rather just make my own records, write my songs and make my own records. I enjoy it a lot more. I get a lot more satisfaction out of that. So not to say that I wouldn't welcome, you know, a major recording artist, you know, recording one of my songs and putting it out. But, you know, I've seen this over and over again with not just songwriters who are struggling, but actually brilliant songwriters. They've got songs laying around, and I'll listen to them. I go, I can't believe somebody hasn't done that. I recorded a song about 3 years ago and put it on my Christmas album called All I Want for Christmas is Peace. And it was co-written by Roger Cook, who wrote a lot of songs for people like Don Williams and so forth, and George Strait.
Yeah.
And I asked Roger, I said, has anybody recorded that song? He goes, nope. He says, the only record that's been made of it is overseas, Joe Brown. And I said, well, I love Joe Brown. I said, I can't believe no artist in Nashville has recorded that. He said, no, they haven't. I said, well, do you mind if I record it? He goes, I'd be honored.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it happens more often than anybody would be aware of, simply because there are a lot of great songs out there, and you know, they just, you know, when somebody hears a song, it has to hit them at the right place at the right time in order for them to move on it. So a lot of material gets overlooked, and I'm not really particularly ready to have any more material overlooked that I feel like is worthy of making a record of. So I just make my own records and put them out. Jenny promotes them. We get them played. I get them streamed, and I get to play them live. And so the songs get to do pretty much everything I'd like for them to do. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, I suppose you're at the stage in life now, Randy, where it's more what you like to do rather than anybody else doing. You know, you're just chilled out and do your own thing and get it out there.
Well, I've learned a lot about record production and how things work and how things how you make a song really stand out, how you can really help that song be as much as you want to be. So, having learned all of that and knowing all that, kind of helps me make a really good record and makes the song and makes the sound of the song and what the feeling of the song very impactful. So I just keep going down that road, and it's a lot of fun. And it's funny when I say the word success, I don't measure the word success in monetary terms or even in chart action. I really measure the word success in, you know, I look at it and I go, I think it's great. I love the way it sounds, and other people like the way it sounds. And so for me, that's success.
When you were younger, Randy, when you started off in the business first, did you ever play in a band, or were you always kind of a solo artist?
I started out actually in high school.
Yeah.
I started out, or actually before junior high, in fifth grade, sang with a little vocal group. And we just sang at the lunch table in school, and the girls liked us singing. So we did that for a little while, and then I picked up an instrument and started playing, and formed a rock and roll band and played some rock and roll for a few years in high school. And then once I started getting a little older and was still in high school, I started writing songs, and they were country music songs. So then I went out on my own, started just playing on my own a lot, doing different shows. And when I ended up in Nashville, I was there for a couple of years, and then I formed another band there called the Knott Brothers, and we were like a country trio that sounded a lot like the Gatlin Brothers or the Oak Ridge Boys or something like that. And we played together for about 4 years. So then when I dropped out of that, I had my own band for a while. So I've toured the country and toured the world quite a lot with either one kind of an ensemble or another. Right now, I don't really have a band. I've got a pickup band that I work with, guys that I know, but I don't work together all the time with a live group. And most of the places that I work are listening rooms, and they don't require that people are going to dance. So, and usually when you're playing with a band, unless you're doing a concert, a band is really there so they can supply a rhythm and a groove for people to dance to and people to do that kind of thing. Yeah. In a listening room, you don't need that kind of thing. It's just you and your instrument and your songs.
That's what I love. The last time we were out there, we heard you, and I think it was the Whiskey Bent Bar. You were just doing an acoustic thing in yourself, and
yeah,
all the people were coming in and just sitting, listening. I love that. I love that where you can just do it acoustically, just sit in a room and do it acoustically. There's a man here has a lovely bar in a wee town just outside Letterkenny, and he has a lovely listening room, you know, and sometimes he'd bring in artists like yourself just to sit down to listen. No drink or anything, you know. If you want to drink, you could go downstairs, but it's a lovely listening room, you know, and you'd go down a treat if ever you came mm-hmm. over here. Have you ever been to Ireland?
No, but I'd love to come, and I've got a friend who has played in Nashville for years, and he goes back and forth. He's Irish. His name is Gareth McGargan, and he's a fantastic guitar player, good singer. He reminds me a lot of Leroy Parnell.
That's Leroy.
What kind of artist he is, so he's really great.
And are you gigging much now over there? Will you be out later on tonight or over the weekend?
I'm playing, Valentine's Day is the 14th, which
That's
is
right.
Saturday. So I'll be doing two dinner shows at a listening room called Wild Bill's Grill over here in East Texas. So that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend. And then I'll be traveling around doing more of my listening room gigs for the rest of this month. I don't really have anything big coming up because I'm doing so much record promotion that most of my time I'm going to be spending with just disc jockeys at radio stations, yeah, either on the phone or in person. So promoting a record takes a lot of travel and a lot of time and a lot of effort. And, I'm ready to do it because I really believe in this little song, Forget Me Not. I'm really happy with it.
When did it come out on general release? Jenny sent it to me, I think it was last week or the week before.
Well, it basically dropped the first week of this month.
Yeah,
is when it came out. So it's only been out seriously from, probably the last weekend of January. So it really dropped on February the 2nd for real. So.
And have you any word on an album? Anything of an album coming out? Have you been working on other songs that you might bring out in an album?
No, I mean I've got other songs that are coming along here and different things that I'm working on. But I think you and I had this maybe have had this conversation earlier.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do another album in the foreseeable future right now.
Yeah.
My goal and my focus is on doing singles. And it helps. It helps the song, and it helps the record when I can concentrate on one song as a project at a time. Doing an album takes up a lot more time, and sometimes the work suffers. Sometimes I'll listen to one of my albums, and I go, "Well, I wish I would have done this, but I had to get it finished," you know. And so I've just gone into the mode of, you know, let me find every single song and exactly what they need to be and refine those things and craft those one at a time. And who knows, maybe through all of these single releases, there'll be an album, you know, filled with these singles.
I suppose too, Randy, you know, the way things are going at the moment, everything's streaming, you know. Over here now, there's not many record shops now where you buy. Even the artists over here would send you singles as an MP3, whereas there's no record shops. If you have a car that's over 2014, there's no CD players in it. It's all either, you know, pin drives or streaming songs now. It's not like you could walk into the record shop and buy the record anyway, you know.
That's the direction that it's headed. Actually, that's probably where it's at right now. I'm almost fooling myself and saying it's not there yet. But we really are there. We're at a point where the record industry has changed once again. And if you look back on history, Anybody who does well in this business or has survived, they have learned that things will change and they have to adapt to what the consumer and what the market is going to ask them to do and is going to lead with, so to speak. You know, there was a time, obviously, when albums were the king of the hill. Before that, there was a time when singles were the king of the hill. You know, you can just keep going back and see how record manufacturing and distribution and marketing and all that kind of stuff has all, you know, it's changed. I would say it's evolved, but I can't call it really evolution. Sometimes I call it de-evolution because it doesn't seem like it has. It doesn't seem like it holds as much value as it used to. Personally, for people, I know people have a collection of songs on their iPod or on their phone or on their computer or something like that, but that just doesn't seem to feel like the same thing as somebody who has a tangible album collection, you know, sitting in their living room, you know, in the album jackets with the pictures and the photos and the liner notes and all this kind of stuff. It feels like a different sort of commodity. So if somebody who does this or is in the business of it, if they did do it for a while, like me, they've had to learn to adapt. If they're new, then that's the way it's always been for them. So, so I don't really know. And to tell you the truth, I don't really exactly know where it's going. I know streaming has really been the biggest thing to come along, but I don't know what's next. Yeah. But I know they must be God, picking up.
As you were saying, God love it. I used to love reading the sleeves, see who the songwriter is or who played on the album. Come here, I ask you, who would have been one of your favourite artists now? Your own favourite artist. Who would you like listening to?
You know, from the past or just now?
Even from the past or now, even from the past anyway.
Okay, yeah. You know, it's funny because I move around a lot on records that I still hold dear. One of my favorite albums is an album by Neil Young called Harvest. And the simplicity and the stories and the feel of all the songs in the album Harvest are still pretty amazing to me. And it's the Redheaded Stranger album by Willie Nelson is still an amazing album to me. These are types of records that I gravitate towards, not because they're crafted in a certain manner, but because they just feel very honest. And you read all the liner notes, and you see all the lyrics and everything, and you can feel the stories in the lyrics. And then when you hear the songs, you go, man, that really makes it all come alive. So, I'm a fan of Creedence Clearwater Revival. I tell people, you know, when they say, you know, there's always a question that comes up, what would be your desert island record? Meaning, if you were stuck on a desert island, you only had one record you could listen to. Mine would be Creedence Clearwater Revival's Cosmos Factory. And it's because it encompasses a lot of different types of music that I've always loved. It's all on one album. It's got like psychedelic, it's got country, it's got rockabilly, it's got rock, it's got some gospel sounding stuff on it. So it's almost a complete record for me when I listen to that record by Creedence Clearwater Revival. So, you know, so my influences and the things that I love are probably older things. My newest, latest thing that I really love to listen to, and I always listen to her when she's on the radio, and I have a collection of her songs on a couple of albums that I bought, is Adele. I think Adele is fairly brilliant on a lot of levels. And what's funny is like, if you listen to female singers who've come out in the last, I don't know, 5, 6, or 7 years, a lot of their records are sounding like Adele records. So that tells you that she's leading the way, you know, in a lot of things.
There you go now. And what do you like to do in your spare time when you have time off, when you to chill out?
I play golf. I like to play golf, and I like to go fishing. I go freshwater fishing here in Texas. There's a lot of lakes to go freshwater fishing here in Texas, and then there's a lot of golf courses to go play. So do that, and you know, travel around a little bit, not too far. There's a lot of things to see here in Texas. You know, drive over to Leuchenbach, or you know, go down to the Alamo, or just kind of go knock around the state of Texas. It's a big country.
It's actually bigger than Ireland. Texas is bigger than Ireland.
Yeah, I think you could put maybe an Ireland or two inside of
Texas.
You could.
Well, come here, Randy.
We've got plenty of Irish here, so we already have part of Ireland here.
You have. Well, come here, Randy. I'm going to let you go, and just to say a big thank you for taking the time to talk to me, and I'd be plugging away at your record here anyway.
All right, Tommy, thank you, and thank you to all your listeners, and please enjoy the music, and I hope to talk to you again.
Randy, take care. Here it is, Forget Me Not.